Thank you, Will. Please keep your finger in that page of the Bible or put the notice sheet there, and let's pray that God will speak to us. Lord, how we praise you that you are a God who speaks, that you've spoken supremely through Jesus. How we praise you that you are a God who forgives, and you've forgiven us all the penalty of our sin through Jesus. And we praise you that you love us so much that you want to set us free from those things in our lives which spoil our humanity, which spoil your image in us, which hold us back from being the people you've made us to be. And we pray that you will come now by your Spirit and speak through the words of Scripture, through my words, through things you impress on us directly. Put your finger on areas in our life which we need to cooperate with you about, that you can set us free to be the people you've made us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are taking this month of June to think about the whole area of freedom under the overall theme, Living Free. Last week at all three services, I preached an introductory sermon about introducing the idea of strongholds, areas in our lives which so get hold of us that they block God's work in us. As I was praying a minute ago, that God has forgiven us from all the penalty of our sin, but he is at work setting us free from the power of sin. It still has an effect, and God is wanting to free us from that. And while I don't always push you to go and listen to my sermons on the internet, and I can't make you anyway, I do want to encourage you, if you haven't heard that one, to listen to last week's sermon. And if you don't have access to the internet, ask us and we can get you a copy that you can listen to, as that sort of introductory bit of teaching to the rest of this month. Then today we're going to think about how God sets us free and wants to set us free from the grip of anger in our lives. And tonight and next week we're going to be looking at different areas that God wants to set us free from. A stronghold, if you like, is an ingrained pattern of thinking or behaviour which has gone on and on for such a long time that it just becomes part of who we are. And it blocks God's work in our life. And he wants to set us free from those ingrained lies we've believed or ungodly things. So when it comes to anger, just would you look down at the passage, and we're going to focus on verses 26 and 27. Paul writes, this is Ephesians 4, 26, "In your anger do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." The word, Greek word topos, we get topography, a place, that if we don't deal with our anger, it actually gives a sort of a landing ground, an opportunity, a place for the devil to just prevent us, to hold us back from all that God is wanting to do. Now, two things are going to happen just before I really continue with the sermon. One is that we've got a handout that everybody's going to get now, so if our helpers could give out the handout. And the second thing is that I've got a visual aid while that's going on. So, Katie, if you could come and be my helper. I'm looking for a volunteer. Katie is... Andy Castle, quickest on the offer there, looked straight at me when I said I was looking for a volunteer. So, very dangerous, isn't it? Actually, I think we're going to need someone with sleeves. I think we've let you free. We need someone with sleeves. Rachel, come on then. Come on. Rachel's got sleeves on. Need a volunteer. So we've got here a cotton reel. And I want to illustrate this whole idea. Could you just put your hands by your side? And Katie, could you tie one loop of cotton around Rachel? And then we'll I'll cut the cotton and you can tie a knot as we illustrate what's going on. So, okay? Okay, shall I hold that? Now, if a hurt happens to us and we're angry about that, that doesn't make us an angry person. Something's happened to us and we've reacted with anger to it, and it's relatively easy to deal with. And I'm illustrating this by one loop of cotton tied round Rachel. It's not too serious. And she can, let's see, have we tied a knot there? We've got a knot. So Rachel could snap out of that, I hope. There we are, it's broken. Okay. Now, let's try five loops of the cotton. Okay. So suppose something happens in Rachel's life that she reacts negatively the same way again and again and again. So suppose something happens 5 days running, and illustrating it last week, it may be a lie that you've believed to pick up. So it may be when you're younger, you're told you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, you always get things wrong, you'll never achieve anything, you're no good. And you believe that, and it just goes again and again and again. So we're trying five loops. How are we doing? We got two.
Two, great.
Oh, no, we can just go round. We don't have to tie them all individually, Katie. Okay, well, okay, we'll just imagine two. So it's happened twice. Can she snap out of it? There we are. So this time, just go round her 30 times. Don't have to tie the knot each time. Just keep going round. Just walk round and round her. So this happens again and again and again. Now, it may... Oh, excellent. We've got lots of help here. We're going 30 times. So the same thing has happened again and again and again. And slowly it starts. Right, when it was once, Rachel could snap out of it. When it was twice, she could snap out of it. 30 times, we'll just see. I don't know whether she'll be able to snap out of this or not, but we're tying this round her 30 times. So the same thing. Imagine we're thinking about anger today. You've been hurt, and you lash out. And you do that day after day after day after day. Each time is like an extra loop of the cotton going around. How are we doing? 15. So another few more. Well, let's do a few more. We'll just keep going. And it's slowly you can see how it affects. Once, you can snap out of it. Twice, you can snap out of it. Shall we try and tie that into a knot? About 20. Let's try that then. Let's see if you can tie that. And we'll just see. I don't know. We haven't practiced this. Andy got let off because I think with bare arms, that might be a bit painful. Okay, let's see if you can snap out of it. Can you just this way? Okay, it's already trapped her. Well, there we are. You have to behave yourself now. Here we are. Visual aid of what the Lord does. He sets you free. But thank you to my helpers. I didn't realise that was going to work so effectively on 20 times round. Now, a stronghold is anything which an ingrained lie we've believed, an ingrained pattern of behaviour reacting, which by again and again, if it happens once, you snap out of it. If it's happening loads of times, we actually wind up being trapped by it. And this is what we're seeing. This month, all of us have got these things. Anyone who says they haven't and they're all sorted is in delusion. You're in cloud cuckoo land. We'll only be set entirely free of it all in glory when we're set completely free. The question is, are we aware of these issues? Are we looking to deal with them? Are we looking to cooperate with the Spirit of God in these? So when it comes to anger, don't worry about the sheets at the moment. I'm going to refer those to you in just a minute, but I thought we'd hand them out now. Look back again at our two verses, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. There's three things we're not to do when it comes to anger. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. So I just want to say a little bit about those three things. In your anger, first of all, don't sin. Of course, not all sin Not all anger is wrong. There is such a thing as righteous anger. Think of Jesus when he came to the temple and he saw the money changers fleecing people and preventing people from praying. He was angry about that, and he was right to be angry about that. Think of Bob Geldof going to Africa a generation ago and seeing the poverty. He was angry about it. He was right to be angry about it. The world's got enough money to deal with this, and he was right to be angry. And that righteous anger can fuel action. When you see an injustice, but very often, even when an injustice happens and we might be right to be angry, we react in an ungodly, sinful way and lash out or hurt others back. And that is not right. We're not to sin. And when we're the one who's been hurt ourselves, 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, the way we react in anger is going to be ungodly. There's always a little moment between what happens to us, someone's rude to us, or on a trivial level, they stamp on our toe. At a serious level, we're abused or violated. There's a moment between what happens and how we react. And 9 times out of 10, people will react and lash out in an angry way. And often that is sinful. We're not to let the sun go down while we're angry. This means deal with it straight away. Don't let it build up. By bedtime, make sure you've sorted things out with people, particularly those close to you. Now, this used to happen daily in our household as I'd tuck the children up, particularly Thomas, who's turned out to be a very fine young man, but was really a very awkward child. Most nights, bedtime would go like this as I'd tuck him up. Night-night, darling. Night-night, Dad. Well, let's just sort out that issue. When you did that, that was wrong, wasn't it? And he'd say, yes, it was wrong. Please will you forgive me? We taught them the formula. We said, don't say sorry, which seems sound, because they'd go, sorry, like you're really sorry. Or I'm not going to say sorry if I don't feel it. So we taught them to say, what I did was wrong, please will you forgive me? And that's a great way to do it. Sometimes you say sorry to someone, they say, don't mention it. Is that forgiven? Don't know. Or is it just stored up for the future? Don't know. Whereas if you say, please, will you forgive me? It's forgiven. So I'd say to Thomas or whoever it was, so that was wrong, wasn't it? He'd say, yes, that was wrong. Please, will you forgive me? I'd say, yes, I forgive you. And then I would say, and the way I reacted to that by shouting at you and calling you a beep, 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 that was wrong, wasn't it? Please, will you forgive me? And he'd say, yes, Dad, I forgive you. And it was a bit of a nightly ritual. And he's turned out to be a very fine young man. But don't let it go down. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. It happens in marriages, doesn't it? Things you can upset each other. Sort it out before you go to sleep. If you're married, you will know the experience of lying bottom to bottom, thinking one of you is going to have to say sorry or you'll never get to sleep. But you'll know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't believe you've never hurt each other. But that you have to say sorry. When I was wrong, sorry, when I did that, I was wrong. Please, will you forgive me? Sort it out. I think of a lady in Hinckley who had done something incredibly unhelpful in our church, and I went to see her, and actually I was so furious about it that I said some things which were really rather unhelpful. So I then had to say to her, okay, what I've said to you was wrong, please will you forgive me? And she said, well, I don't know, I'm seething. And I said, well, I've done my bit, I've said sorry. The Bible says, insofar as you're able, live at peace with people. But she phoned me up that night about 10 o'clock and said, okay, I forgive you. Now, as Christians, we have to forgive anyway. We can't pray the Lord's Prayer as we just pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But so don't sin in your anger. Don't let the sun go down. And then this third bit, don't give the devil a foothold. If we don't deal with our anger, if we hold on to it, if we won't forgive, we hold on to a grudge, we let it build up, we give the devil a foothold. It's like blood to sharks. If there's blood in the water, sharks come at it. If we don't do the forgiveness, all the demonic forces around just get attracted to this unforgiveness and start energizing it and making it worse. Now, you may not be aware, but we live in a world of two realms. There's a physical realm we can see. There's a whole spiritual realm going on around us. And in the West, we forget. Chatting with Andy and Ruth earlier in the week about this, they gave me a brilliant illustration. They said, look, this building is full of sound. If I bring a radio in and tune into the frequency, you can hear all that's going on. We can't see it, but it's here. The building is full of pictures. If we bring in a television set with a tuner, we can tune in and we can see those pictures. This building is full of the glory of God and the spiritual, healthy angels rejoicing. We can't see them. It's also full of the forces of evil and the demonic trying to, this world is full of, they're there. And if we don't do the forgiveness, it is like blood to the sharks that they will come. We're not to give the devil a foothold and let this build up. If we don't deal with it, it becomes what the writer to the Hebrews calls a root of bitterness. In fact, later on in our passage, just look at verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. So how do we deal with it? We deal with anger by forgiveness. We recognize that something's gone wrong and we've been hurt, and we choose to forgive. So the illustration I gave with Thomas earlier, recognize something was wrong, and we choose to forgive it. So the first thing we need to do is to recognize, and just the headings on your notes you've got, there's a section there on an injustice. An injustice happens to you. You've been wronged, you've been violated, you've been abused in some way. That is wrong. But then the next bit, and these notes are really for you to take away and read afterwards, the next bit talks about forgiveness, because, yes, we acknowledge that that was wrong, what happened to us, but we then have to forgive the person and not hold on to the grudge. If instead of doing forgiveness, we hold on to it, it will just grow in us. And as that illustration I did with Rachel with the cotton reel, if day after day and week after week we don't forgive, it slowly binds us and we become trapped. So trapped that we can't do what God's called us to do. And if you look at the number of Christians in our church, if you look at the number of Christians in our nation, why is it that the church is so ineffective in our society? Because so many of us are bound up with these things. Yes, we've been forgiven, but we're trapped. And what we're trying to do this month is to help us as a church to recognize some of these things, that we can be released and set free from them. So now, would you just take a minute to look down that checklist there? There's just 25 very quick boxes. If you've got a pen or pencil, just tick how many of those apply to you. The first thing in dealing with it is to recognise what sort of level of anger there may be. Some folks here have been very good at dealing with their anger and forgiving. Others have just squashed it down and stored it up. It may lead to depression or it may lead to real bitterness and anger. But just go down and tick any of those that apply to you in any way. All of us, I imagine, will have some of them. A very few may have most of them. Let's have a quick look. Don't take hours over it. It's just a quick, just read them and think, is that partly true of me? I've given you the sheets so that you can look through that a little bit more later on. Just worth saying to anyone who's listening to this on the internet or on CD that we can get you these worksheets to go alongside these sermons if you'd find that helpful. You just have to ask. What we're doing this morning is just very introductory. The anger is such a huge area. There's lots more sheets from where this came from, but I've just picked off a few as a sort of appetite whetter. As you go down that list, the thing to do is to be praying, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, will you put your finger and show me what I need to deal with? And I say, all of us will have some of these things. And anger, like a good counsellor, can put its finger on issues we need to deal with, and we can be saying, Lord, what is it? A good prayer to pray alongside this is, Lord, who has wronged me that I need to forgive, who I haven't forgiven yet? Maybe something ages in the past that you squashed down rather than dealing with the forgiveness. Maybe something very immediate and recent. Some of these things may be relatively small, and we'll be able to just deal with those today. Some of them we will have been wronged in very big ways, and you may well need help, someone to pray with you in doing the forgiveness work. And I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. So that's just an initial tick list to give you an idea as to how much of an issue this may be in your life. Later on in the sheet, if you look over on the page, it says on the living free of anger on the right hand side, there's a little bit in the top right hand column. It says, ask God to reveal to your mind the people against whom you're holding feelings that aren't right. Make a list of the names as God reveals them. For some of you who've never really done this forgiveness, this may be a long list that you need to work through. For others, there may just be one or two. And we're not going to do all of that now. I want to encourage you to go away and to pray, Lord, reveal people who've hurt me. Actually, some of the hurts may be perceived. It may not have been an injustice. You perceive it as an injustice, and the feelings will come from that, whether it's a real or a perceived injustice. How do we actually then do the forgiveness? We recognise there's an issue. We recognise there's some stuff in us that's ungodly. We recognise there's some people who've hurt us that we need to forgive. What do we do? Well, we're using a model of five R's. So if we could put these five R's up, please, John, on the screen. So let's have the... We recognise, first of all, that there's an issue. Let's put them all up there now. The next thing to do is to repent, and I'll say a bit word about all of these. Now, obviously, if we've been wronged, we need to recognise there was a wrong. What we're repenting of is our ungodly reaction to that wrong. So we're repenting of holding on to the grudge. We're repenting of our lack of forgiveness. We're repenting of the way we've lashed out or slandered that person or gossiped against them or undermined them in different ways. We're repenting of that ungodly reaction. And we're choosing, to repent means literally to change your mind. Instead of choosing to hold on to the grudge, we choose to forgive. You won't feel like forgiving to start with. It's an act of the will. It's a choice to choose to forgive, and the feelings will come later in due course. So we recognise the hurt, we repent of our unforgiveness and our ungodly reactions, and we receive, thirdly, God's forgiveness. When we say, I'm sorry, Lord, I've done that. It was wrong for me not to forgive that person. It was wrong for me to hold on to that grudge. I receive your forgiveness. And we also want to receive fresh filling of God's Holy Spirit to strengthen us. Just look down at verse 30 in our passage. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When we don't forgive, when we hold on to anger, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is described in Scripture as a very gentle bird, a dove. Doves are very easily frightened away, as it were. When we don't do the forgiveness, it not only provides a landing ground for the evil one, but it blocks the Holy Spirit's work in our life. When we forgive, it gets rid of the landing ground for the evil one. The Holy Spirit's much free to come back and work and strengthen us again. So we recognise the injustice, we repent of our ungodly reaction, we receive forgiveness, we receive the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Then we rebuke the evil one. And James and various other bits of the Bible, it says, rebuke the evil one, resist the evil one, and he'll flee from you. This is really important to say, I stand as a child of God, forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And I speak to any forces of darkness, I rebuke you, I send you to the feet of Jesus, I've done the forgiveness, you have no part in me. Just resisting the evil one. And I'll lead in a prayer of all of this in a moment. And then the replacing is so important. Instead of the unforgiveness, the bitterness, we choose to replace this with forgiveness and blessing. How do you know if you've really forgiven someone? If you can genuinely pray prayers of God's blessing on them, you've probably done it fine. If you find it almost impossible to pray prayers of God's blessing on these people or to talk about them without being angry, then you've probably got some more work to do in this area. So we choose to bless them, and we choose to trust God. Instead of holding on to the grudge ourselves, I'll get even with them, we choose to release it to God and trust God to deal with them. Now, God is quite capable of working in this situation for good. Do you know the verse Romans 8:28, where it says, in all these things, including many dreadful things, God works for the good of those who love him. There's some bad translations around which say God works everything together for good, which is a bad translation, and it's not what it says, because that implies that everything's fine, really, and God makes it all work out. It says, what it actually says is, in all these terrible things, which are terrible, God will work for our good, as we love him. So Joseph is a great example. Terrible things happened to Joseph. His brothers nearly killed him. They sold him as a slave. He was thrown into prison unjustly. And yet, through it all, he clearly dealt with his issues, became a very godly man, and saved Egypt from the famine. And when he met his brothers at the end of the life, he said, you intended to harm me, but God meant it for good. God can use it for good. And we are called to replace this anger, this bitterness, with forgiveness. 1 Peter is all about this, how Jesus suffered and trusted God, and he chose to pray forgiveness. And we are called to follow in his footsteps. Now, you may be saying, but you just don't know how badly I've been hurt. It's all very well for you to say, Jonathan, you must forgive. You don't know how bad the abuse against me was. And that's true, I don't, but God does. And he does know that forgiveness is costly. The cross is the ultimate symbol of what forgiveness costs. It is very costly. And Jesus took it on himself so that we can release it, so we can be forgiven and release others. If we hold on to it, the only person we damage is ourselves. As we release it, it releases incredible power of forgiveness. South Africa is in the news at the moment very much with the start of the World Cup. And I've dug out a wonderful story I heard some years ago from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. You know, as apartheid came to an end, they couldn't just say, well, it doesn't matter, that's all gone now. The injustices of the apartheid era had to somehow be brought to the open and forgiveness and reconciliation happen. I'm going to read to you one of the most extraordinary stories I read from this era. I find this quite emotional. I may struggle to get through it, but I'll try and read it as it is. Because here is a lady who was wronged terribly, who by God's grace chose to forgive. And if she could forgive, then God can help any one of us, whatever it is you're thinking about. So here's the story. The scene is a courtroom in South Africa with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. A frail black woman rises slowly to her feet. She's a little over 70 years old. Facing across the room are several white security police officers, one of whom, Mr. Van der Broek, has just been tried and found implicated in the murders of her son and her husband. He had come to the woman's home some years before, taken her son, shot him at point-blank range, and then set the young man's body on fire while he and the other officers partied nearby. Several years later, Van der Broek and his cohorts had returned to take away the husband as well. For many months, the woman had heard nothing of his whereabouts. And almost 2 years after her husband disappeared, Van der Broek came back to fetch the woman herself. How vividly she remembered that evening going to a place beside the river where she was shown her husband, bound and beaten, but still strong in spirit, lying on a pile of wood. The last words she heard from his lips as they poured petrol over him and set him aflame were, "Father, forgive them." Now this woman stands in the courtroom and listens to the confessions offered by Mr. Van der Broek. A member of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission turns to her and says, "So what do you want? How should justice be done to this man who has so brutally destroyed your family?" "I want three things," begins the old woman calmly but confidently. "First, I want to be taken to the place where my husband's body was burned so I can gather up the dust and give his remains a decent burial." Then she continues, "My husband and son were my only family. I want, secondly, therefore, for Mr. Van der Broek to become my son. I would like for him to come twice a month to the ghetto and spend a day with me so I can pour out on him whatever love I still have remaining in me. And finally," she says, "I want a third thing. This is also the wish of my husband. I would kindly ask someone to come to my side and lead me across the courtroom so I can take Mr. Van der Broek in my arms and embrace him and let him know he's truly forgiven." As the court assistants came to lead the elderly woman across the room, Mr. Van der Broek, overwhelmed by what he had heard, fainted. As he did, others in the courtroom, family, friends, neighbours, all victims of decades of injustice, began to sing softly, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." So powerful. And when you release forgiveness, it releases so much more. So what Jesus did for us, and it's what we're called to do for others. And I want to lead us in prayer over those things that God put on your heart, your mind, just while we were quiet earlier. So would you stand, and perhaps if the band would come back ready to play our next song. I want to lead us in a prayer that goes through these five R's. There will be points where I ask you to join in with my prayer out loud. There's something very powerful about speaking out forgiveness. I'll tell you what we're going to pray. In the quietness, I'll lead in a prayer of just recognizing the thing you're trying to deal with. If God's put someone on your heart you need to forgive, just to recognize what happened. I'm then going to lead in a prayer of repentance for any ungodly reaction to that. And I'll ask you to join in with a phrase of that. I'm going to lead in a prayer of receiving forgiveness and the Holy Spirit, and I'll invite you to receive. I'm then going to lead in a prayer of rebuking the evil one and rebuking any spirits of anger or bitterness. And I'll ask you to say that with me out loud. It's very powerful, speaking this out. And then lastly, I'll lead in a prayer of replacing. Okay? So in the stillness, Lord, just establish the one we're trying to forgive now. The thing that's happened, the person we need the injustice, the thing we need to forgive. the person you call us to bless. If we've done all the forgiveness, there may still be more blessing that we can do, that we need help with. So in the quietness, let's call to mind any ungodly behaviour, unforgiveness, refusal to forgive, slander or lashing out. Okay, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me aloud. I repent of my ungodly behaviour. Let's say that together. I repent of my ungodly behaviour. Let's acknowledge it as sin. So say with me, I acknowledge it as sin. I acknowledge it as sin. And we'll say together, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me. Now receive assurance of forgiveness. On the basis of the cross, Jesus died to forgive us all our sin. I declare that all who truly repent are forgiven. Lord, help us to receive forgiveness for our ungodly behaviour. Just breathe in. And as you breathe in, receive his forgiveness. And as you breathe in, receive fresh filling of his Holy Spirit. Lord, come and fill your people afresh with your Spirit. Your Spirit who was grieved by the anger and bitterness. Your Spirit who's so attracted by forgiveness and grace. Many of you will have recognised that you had provided a landing ground for the evil one, a bit like those cotton threads that had you bound. So we're going to rebuke the evil one. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I rebuke any spirits of anger and bitterness. So we say together, I rebuke any spirits of anger and bitterness that have tried to affect me. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come against any of those demonic forces of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. We rebuke you. We send you to the feet of Jesus. You have no place in us. We are children of God, washed clean by the blood of the cross. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to replace unforgiveness with forgiveness and blessing. That you would help us to replace grudges with forgiveness and blessing. And we pray that you would help us as a whole church to work these things through individually, in small groups, and as the days go on. Where we need help with that you would lead us to pray with someone appropriate, that we can indeed trust you and live as followers of Jesus and be set free from these things, these chains that have bound us, free to be the people you've called us to be and to do the ministry you've called us to do. And all these things we pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing the song, a song that speaks of the blood of Jesus as the place of forgiveness. But some of you will want to pray with someone today before you leave the building. And after the service is over, there'll be members of the prayer ministry team who'd be delighted to pray with you for any reason. The small group leaders have been taken through this material. You may want to pray with a small group leader at some point or with a Christian friend. We can help you find someone appropriate to pray with you for any of these things. I do want to say, if it's a big thing, you will need someone to help you deal with it more. But let's deal with these things, and we can help you with that as we come to the foot of the cross, and what Jesus won for us becomes true in every area of our lives. So let's sing about the freedom he's won for us.